bottom and have to work hard to reach somewhere. Another yeshiva, you'll be already on the top. We're very good there. Which yeshiva should you go to? To the yeshiva that you'll be on the bottom and you'll have to strive to go higher, or where you'll feel already comfortable on day one?
So let me just tell you, Hi Surab, when I came to Segregated Washington 20 years ago, so I came to teach in Shigdola, but it's one building in Shigdola to high school, and Kesha with the high school boys, and the senior class, the oldest class, went in the winter break, Paris Israel, to look for yeshivas to go to. I happened to be there at the same time, and I said, I'll go around to for a day to different, but you know, I'll give you a day and we'll go together. And we went to Eliyashiv. And this was at a time when Eliyashiv was slowly seeing people and so on. So his gabbai introduces us and tells him, these are a group of boys from America looking for a yeshivas and Israel. They want a bracha from the Rav to get into the best yeshivas. Rabbi Yashu was a man that every word counted. Incredible. When you spoke to him, there never was extra words. It was extremely, his instinct was bizarre. He said, Rez Hashem, they should get into suitable yeshivas. It's just the word best to suitable. So let me explain this application of it. If a person does things for other reasons, for instance, I want to get into a very strong yeshiva because it's prestigious and because I'm part of that yeshiva, that's not a good reason. If a person wants to go to a comfortable yeshiva because it's not demanding, those are two reasons that are not good reasons. It's like in a workout. You're looking for something that will challenge you, but not devastate you. So it has to be a place where you need to work to move up. But a place where, like we said, like we spoke about, success is a very important component to success. Success breeds success. So it has to be a place where you feel you've worked your muscles, but you're not Charlie Horse and sore that you just give up. That would be the right balance. Yes?
In meeting the garage, I've been wondering about this. Like, I know that the Bible, the Torah is not fully, but who are the actual wives of the Torah fight? Because some people say it's Dina married Shimon, and the Mitra says that they were twin sisters.
So generally speaking, unless, I think you mentioned that point when you were saying, Avraham Avinu's life was incredibly long, 175 years. We have a dozen stories from him in the Kodesh. The same thing is true. So obviously the facts that are mentioned are only because it's significant. So even the Medrash, when the Medrash will say something like that, the Maral, that's Rabbi Hoffman, this is the point that he makes. The Medrash never volunteers information. We don't keep information that's useless. Everything, for instance, if they'll say who it was, Bastino or this or that, there's significance to it. So I guess we need to look at it. So if we don't have any Masoros, then it doesn't have any significance. We Chazal pointed something out, it has a significance, and we need to try and say, what's significant about this? Yes?
So obviously, you've made a tremendous importance to study quite a number of years, preparing yourself in learning, getting to a high level learning.
Right.
But Can it ever be considered like a filler to go out into the working world and obviously maintain a certain lifestyle at the same time, rather than, let's say, staying, I understand clearly like there's no learn to stay learning, but is it ever more than okay, is it ever maybe the right thing for you to go out into the working world?
So, there's a focus. What was the question heard? The question that Yaakov's asking is, should you go to Brisk your whole life or Ponovich? Meaning, what's lechatchila? Because I understand that that's the question. What is lechatchila? I mean, the best way how to live.
I understand, obviously, the idea of learning, but can it be lechatchila for an individual?
Can it be also, can it be lechatchila that a person learns for a limited of time, 2-3 years, whatever, and then he goes to work and keeps on the Lashon Hara, can that be also qualified as a Chatchila?
So let me give two theories of that. First of all, it's Machlokes. Machlokes Mark Rafis, Shimon Ben Shmuel. And the Gemara indicates that for most of the world, Rabbi Shmuel was the right answer, and for Yechidim, Rabbi Shimon was the right answer. But what I think is very important are two other things. It sounds difficult to understand how it could work. The tekufa, when a person is sitting and learning, he should not be thinking, if I'm productive learning now, it's the right time in my life to learn. I shouldn't be thinking about I'm doing my 3 years in Shiva, and then I'm doing this, and then the other thing. Because then the learning is not the way it should be. You need to be involved in learning as if nothing else exists, and at the right junctions in life, make decisions about where you belong. In other words, the problem becomes when your attitude is, I'm doing my year in Israel, or my 3 years in yeshiva, or my 10 years in kolo. The minute you phrase it that way, you've already lost some of the quality. It's like when you're learning, nothing else is supposed to exist. And when the right time comes, there are times, certain ages of person before he has to make decisions. And at that time, you know, you make that decision. So there were 12 shvatim in Klal Yisrael, one of which was mandated to sit in Kodesh, one of which was zocheh to sit in Kodesh, and 10 shvatim did whatever else they did. But the tekufa, when a person is in Beis HaMikdash, in Shalosh HaGolim, there's nothing else exists. He left everything behind, doesn't check his email, doesn't look after his farm, doesn't think about anything. It's outside of space and time. The quality of learning in those years should be as if you'd be learning the rest of your life, irregardless. And when the right time comes, you with Rebbein and the opinion that he'll understand you will help you make up the right decision.
Any other questions? Ben?
If you learn a lot, we're not meant to feel like our guide because it all comes from Hashem and the Torah is all about coming from Hashem. But how could you ever really be rewarded for something if it's all about coming from Hashem? Meaning if I'm learning more here about that, if it's just my karma, at the end of the day, it's Hashem's choice to do it in a way. And if not, then it's your work, you should feel.
So let me give you a mashat. It's not why it's all more nuanced than the way you put it. Imagine I go to somebody, who, again, I have no idea what people earn in England, I have no idea, but let's say a person, just throwing out a number, a person earns
16,000.
That's pounds. Okay, so a person is, so let's say a person is earning 10,000 G a year, just 10,000 pounds a year, and he gives it, it's an accounted for tzedakah. And you give $100, 100 pounds. Nice. Somebody else is a multimillionaire and he gives you $1,000. So, yes, the other person gave more and he needs to understand that. He needs to feel the responsibility. You know, if I failed in my sin, if this guy didn't give the 100, someone else will give it. If I don't give my 100,000, it's going to be an issue. But is there room for guy for it? In other words, this other person gave me, it's me again. I want to know somebody who was somebody I admired tremendously, was killed in Hashem, Rachel Bursi, Chenny Gondamai, was a neighbor of mine, and in my mind, he would have been next to Al-Hadar. He was cut short, he was a person who was incredible. He was incredible in every area. I mean,
he was the one that got killed in the massacre in Parnell.
He knew Kolater Kula, Kabbalah, his Sifkis, his precious, incredible person. And he was incredible physically. He would walk in for Shalosh Shuvos, he might walk back, and go to the Chaisidus. He had tremendous kochos, physical kochos, kochos nefesh, and everything that's there. But his son once made some remark. And he told him, these are the credits that Hashem gave me. I'm not better. I have these kochos, so this is my fulfilling what I'm supposed to do. A person's always, gaiva starts when I measure myself. He's giving only 100 pounds, I'm giving 100,000 pounds. I was given this, these assets, these opportunities, and I need to know it. So I can't, just like if somebody comes to me and says, okay, I have those assets, I can't prove anivus,
And just like if, let's say I'm a doctor who's a very big expert in a certain field, and someone comes to me, I can't prove I need this. So if somebody needs my help with something I can help, I need to do it. But I need to understand that those assets, those will give up a struggle, and I'm somehow doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, when you think of it, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, it's a very different way of relating to it than I look at it in terms of Hashimas.
Okay, Avraham Meir,
so we know that when you see someone doing it over there, it's pulled down some of that. If you don't tell them not to do it, it's as if you did it over there. But it's also pulled down if you give someone musa and they don't listen to you, you should have the musa.
Okay, Avraham Meir's question is, how do you balance from one point of view you're supposed to rebuke a fellow friend? From another point of view, if it won't be accepted, you should not say it. So how do you draw the line?
Well, I think you can always try once. I mean, you very rarely you know a person not going to listen. And a lot of times you can rebuke a person in a way where, you know, yes, if you tell the person you're doing it, maybe it's terrible, many people won't listen. If you tell somebody, you know, I used to do it myself, and let me tell you what got me away from it. It's much easier to accept. There are ways, if you rack your brains, you can think of some ways. And you know, one of the techniques used to be to make a person feel hush about himself and let things drop off. So most of the time, the Gemara says you can't be sure until you haven't tried. But once you got to a point where you really feel this futile, or yes, if somebody do something that's impossible to do, somebody who's not shomer shabbos at all, just to go cold turkey and be shomer shabbos totally. So then you need to use the osefo to figure what things can I get, what things can't I get.
Okay. Very deep issues is amazing, and